I'll be reading from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. If you want to follow along, you're welcome to read the Common English Translation on page 1324, and then I will move to read selected verses from chapter 20 of the Gospel according to John. This morning, sorry, George, I'm reading the message today. Hear now these words, if I can get my eyes to work today. When the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then, devout pilgrims from all over the world. When they heard the sound, they came on the run. Then when they heard, one after another, their own mother tongues being spoken, they were thunderstruck. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on and kept saying, "Aren't these all Galileans? How come we're hearing them talk in our various mother languages? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, visitors from Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, immigrants from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, even Cretans and Arabs. They're speaking our languages, describing God's mighty works. Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make head or tail of any of it. And they talked back and forth, 'What's going on here?' And others joked, 'They're drunk on cheap wine.' That's when Peter stood up and, backed by the other 11, spoke out with bold urgency. 'Fellow Jews, all of you who are visiting Jerusalem, listen carefully and get this story straight. These people aren't drunk, as some of you suspect. They haven't had time to get drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what the prophet Joel announced would happen. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, also your daughters. Your young men will see visions. Your old men dream dreams. When the time comes, I'll pour out my spirit on those who serve me, men and women both. And they'll prophesy. I'll set wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billowing smoke, the sun turning black and the moon blood red. Before the day of the Lord arrives, the day tremendous and marvelous, and whoever calls out for help to me, God, will be saved." And now a reading from the Gospel according to John. Later on that day, the disciples had gathered together, but fearful of the Jews, had locked all the doors in the house. Jesus entered, stood among them, and said, "Peace to you." Then he showed them his hands and sighed. The disciples, seeing the master with their own eyes, were exuberant. Jesus repeated his greeting, "Peace to you. Just as the Father sent me, I send you." Then he took a deep breath and breathed into them. "Receive the Holy Spirit," he said. "If you forgive someone's sins, they're gone for good. If you don't forgive sins, what are you going to do with them?" This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Will you pray with me? Gracious and holy God, on this special day, we remember the promise that you would be with us always through the power of the Holy Spirit. So I invite that Holy Spirit to fall upon us this day, that our ears will be open, our hearts will receive, and our minds will come to be more like yours. May the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts Be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So as I mentioned before, today, or Miss Kathy said, today is the birthday of the church. And when we think about Holy Spirit, there is something about the color red. There are only a couple of instances in times of worship where we wear red. I use red during Passion Week to remind us of that holiest of weeks in the journey that Jesus made to the cross. We wear red on Pentecost Sunday to remind us of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And we wear red on Reformation Sunday, when the church was transformed to be more as God intended it to be. Red also is that color that we often associate with fire. And so, thinking about the Holy Spirit, I light these candles to remind us of the gift of the Holy Spirit. For those of you who may have seen it in my hand, I also have a red origami crane. How many of you are skilled at making origami? None of you? Deanie? A little bit? Okay. So there in my last congregation, I had a mom and two sons who, you know, said, "What can we do to help you, Pastor?" And I said, "How are you at making origami cranes?" And they're like, "Well." And I said, "If I give you the paper, can you make some cranes for me?" And they did. They folded over 100 cranes in different shades of reds and oranges and yellows and whites. And I suspended them as a mobile to remind us and look like tongues of fire falling upon the sanctuary. Now, obviously, here I would do the same, except guess what? George says I have to have a power lift to be able to reach the ceiling in here, and I haven't quite gotten around to that yet, but we will. I've attended, how many of you have attended ordination services for people in, okay, so I'm looking at, how many of them have been Methodist? Okay, I saw Beth, your hand. What tradition were yours, Beth? Catholic. Have any of you gone to a Lutheran ordination? So I've been to two in the local area of folks that I've known, and one of the beautiful things that they did was ribbons to represent the tongues of fire. They had it on a big PVC piece of pipe, and they would find someone particularly tall, thinking about Pastor, my friend Pastor Sharon, and she would come up there and, you know, she said, "I'm going to bring this Holy Spirit like nobody has ever seen before." And she'd hold this and she would go, whoa. You know, it makes me think of the color guard for, like, you know, marching bands and things. But imagine that in a sanctuary this size with a 10-foot pipe with ribbons and how it would all, like, flow over top of people's head. I said, just don't hit anybody, right? Just don't hit anyone. Because that could be painful. But we have all of these different representations of what the coming of the Holy Spirit could look like. And when we think about the color red and we think about origami cranes, or if we think about ribbons that may show that. I believe here at Holly Springs, you guys have had red balloons tied to the ends of the pews a couple of times as a way of remembering this special day. But it draws me back to the very beginning of creation. That we know from the beginning of creation that it was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that created out of nothing, by speaking a word. When humanity was created, it was from the dirt, and that is why we hear from the prophet Joel of or and even from Acts, that if we leave, have the Spirit leave from us, we will return to dust. Because we know that Adam was formed from the dust and God breathed into Adam to give life to Adam. And so our lives were from the breath of God. That if that Spirit, that breath of God leaves us, we shall return to dirt. Now let's put this into context. Pentecost, Penta is 5. So Pentecost would be the festival of 50. So 50 days after the resurrection of Jesus, we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit. Right? Pentecost. And so they're gathered. And we hear also from John that following the death and resurrection of Jesus, the disciples were scared. They had locked themselves back up in that upper room where they had gathered for that final supper with Jesus, and they were terrified. But what did Jesus do? Jesus came to them in that space and said, "Peace be with you." And then he repeats the same thing, "Peace be with you," in case we missed it the first time. And what's interesting is Jesus breathed on all of them in that space. And this actually happens before the coming of the Holy Spirit in that crowded space. And so those closest to Jesus received this gift of the Spirit before the crowd did. And then they're outside full of the Holy Spirit, able to understand what was going on within this. And because it was Pentecost and it was the festival, everyone came from all over because they were faithful. And they came to Jerusalem where their center of worship life was. And on that day, so early in the morning, through the sound of mighty wind, tongues of fire lit upon all gathered there. And when they were speaking in tongues, they were able to understand each other. Because the Holy Spirit translated it to each other to hear about the story of God in that space. But some didn't believe. They wanted to chalk it up to having too much to drink that morning. And Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, says, "No, you don't understand. This is fulfilling the word of Joel the prophet." And he tells of this word, that the Holy Spirit would come and alight upon those, and the young people will prophesy, and the old ones will dream, and we will be able to hear afresh from God in all of this. As I was talking with the lectionary group on Monday, and we were doing this. Now, mind you, this text we read every year. And sometimes, as a pastor, when we read the same text every year, we think, how in the world can I offer something new from the same text that we preach every year? And then you remember the power of the Holy Spirit. That being in community allows us to hear it in a new way. And when I think about those that had traveled so far to be in that place, and they all had their own native languages, and yet they were all able to be in community together, what was it that bound them together? It was the power of the Holy Spirit. That they were disjointed and fractured and separate from each other, but then in the coming together in that place, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. But the story doesn't end there. Filled with the Holy Spirit, what do they do next? They go back to their own hometowns and share their experience. Filled with the Holy Spirit so that others too may come to hear the good news of Jesus. It makes me think about how often fire can be sometimes so controlled in some instances, and then in an instant, turn to chaos. Have you ever seen how an ember, just a spark, can set alight to something else, and then it jumps and it sets something else, and all of a sudden, you can have a raging fire in less than 20 minutes? Think about that in light of the church. That here, just as it happened 2,000 years ago, they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and then they carried that Spirit, and then it propagated itself and spread throughout the world. Otherwise, guess what? We would not be here now. Can I get an amen? So why do we hear the same text? Why do we come to it again? Because we also must remember that it is the Spirit that reforms and transforms the church. That is not our doing, it is God's doing. And so we come to remember, to be remembered, to be recreated as God intends. I was reading a post by a fellow clergy person who said that Pentecost, you know, he was thinking about the Holy Spirit and how often we attribute gifts to the Holy Spirit, because we know that fruit of the Spirit is brought to us by the Holy Spirit, and some is love and kindness and joy and generosity, but we also have gifts to serve, like teaching and preaching and healing and visitation and feeding and caring for others. And he said, what if the gift we need to embrace this day is a word of honesty? And it hit me. How often are we honest as a church that we need the Holy Spirit to bring about transformation, not only as individuals, but as a church? For church is where God intends for the message of Christ to be spread into the world. And I got to tell you, sometimes the church doesn't do a real good job of that. But we come today to be filled by the Spirit, to bring and participate in the reformation of this church, so that we can go out and transform the world. Remember where I started this morning? What did I start with? What did I start with? Mission all. What is our mission? Intentional kindness, participating in the work that God is already doing, that we need to stop and pay attention and be a part of it. And how do we do that? We carry that Spirit of God with us out into the world. Because that Spirit is what reminds us ultimately of God's love for us and God's love for everyone else. So we're going to be missional. We're going to be intentional. We are going to bring about change in our community, in our workplaces, in our families, and in our lives, because God is doing that within us. And we are going to be bound and tied together by the Spirit and the love of God. Can I get an amen? So to remind us of that, can you stand up and move closer together? I know, I'm going to make you get close to your neighbors. You're going to have to stand up and get close. Kind of shimmy into the middle. Okay, can you hold on to this end very carefully? Don't let it go. Just tie it on your finger. Okay, grab some. Grab and hold on, and then pass it on. Here too, Elise. All right, get over here. But you're going to be my anchor, so don't let it go. Okay. So you're going to grab a hold and then share it and pass it on and then get connected to everybody else. Okay, faster, everybody. Hold on to this one. Can you grab a hold? How are we doing? Thank you. Do what? Are you calling this a hostage situation? Yes, hostage by the power of the Holy Spirit. Are you all connected? Hold on to that, Annabelle. Don't let go. Here, Dakota, grab on. Grab on to that one. Here, Jane. Hold on. Yeah, grab on to Joe. Everybody got to hold on something yet. Do we need more? Are you holding on? Can I grab a hold on yours? You hold on to yours and I'll hold on to it. Everybody got a hand on it. Okay, so if I pull on this one, what's going to happen? It tightens it. Eventually, hopefully, everybody will feel it. We didn't cross the gap, but we ought to. This is the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit that is binding you together. This is the same Holy Spirit that bound those early persons who gathered on Pentecost together. This is the same Holy Spirit that is transferred over so many years and places and situations that binds us to God. This is a string of love. Blessed be the tie that binds us together. In the name of the Son and of the Father and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.